I just want to say his name. I've been doing this. William Nylander. There, I led with the lead, but now we're getting to the fight, boys. Okay, Stewie, lay it out for us. How did the fight change the game?
Well, I'll start off by saying, where is Ziggy? And bark twice if you're in Milwaukee, Ziggy. But don't worry, it's just hey, the opening season. Take it off. We'll take it from here, Ziggy.
Wisconsin is beautiful in January.
Is there a seven-second delay? Like, you can't even bring up that state around here, Anthony. Come on now.
But it's great having you on, Arash.
Go Rams. You, that's all I have to say. Go Rams.
Today we are all Rams.
We are all Rams until Sunday.
Yeah.
So back to the fight. And when I talk to analytics guys all the time, and they say, well, fights, there's no correlation between that and coming back in the game. This is something that, in bringing in a Wayne Simmons and Joe Thornton, this is something on a stat sheet that you're not going to see. And that fight, in my opinion, it turned the tide of the game. There wasn't really any energy. Guys were sort of just going through the motions, turning pucks over through the neutral zone. And they were down 3-1. And Simmons, you know, he didn't just happen to get into a fight. He dragged Sherratt into that fight with a couple cross checks, a chop, and he beat the crap out of him. So what that does now, if you're on the bench not having a good game and you're sort of like, ah, man, I'm not really feeling it, you see Wayne Simmons here. Here's a guy with 900 games in the National Hockey League. He doesn't have to fight. He doesn't have to drop the gloves. He's going to be looking around at you guys, you know, yelling at you to get your game together. He's sacrificing himself for the team. So what that does now, it gets these other guys now motivated, saying, man, here's another guy that doesn't have to do it. He's doing it. Let me start picking up my game to do my job and show my worth to the team. So for that to go, you know, being 3-1, he goes, he fights, and the game's tied up not too long later. That is Wayne Simmons, and that's what he brings to this Toronto Maple Leafs team.
I'll jump in on that if I could here and just say that I don't understand why when you have these conversations on Twitter, and I think that's where most of us get our feedback in media, which is so terrible. Just so terrible.
Yeah, I found it good for my mental health, Justin. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
What's the issue with that? I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly. So we're all dumb because we do check our mentions for the most part. But, you know, it doesn't have to be that the fight was the reason the Leafs won or had nothing to do with why the Leafs won. Like, it was a good thing at a good time. The Leafs were down 3-1. It showed the boys, all right, we're not rolling over. We're still physically fighting. We're still in this battle here. And the game turned around then. And whether it's directly correlated or just was another good thing and a string of good things that happened for the Leafs there, it was a good thing. It was great to see the Leafs have a little, you know, a little piss and vinegar there, a little bite back. I thought that was wonderful. And obviously the Leafs have that bite back in offensive form too, and they're never out of it. So I thought all the things that makes the Leaf, you know, why we, many of us predicted them to win the division were showcased kind of at the end of that second period.
Okay, so maybe there's first, a bigger picture thing where, you know, look, we're not going to get pushed around, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the flip side. I'm Ben Sherratt. I got goated. But if it is a persistent and consistent and forevermore truth that fighting changes the momentum of a hockey game, why would a player on a team with a lead ever fight? Why would you voluntarily get goated into handing said momentum to your opponent when you have them down?
Well, I'm not sure if you saw Ben Sherratt. He had a debate in his own head for about 6 seconds. And in the moment, you know, you have a guy, you know, challenging you and questioning you, you know, if you're tough enough or worthy of being in the NHL, you have to answer the bell. And that's part of the hockey culture where, unless you're part of it, it's really tough to understand. And again, it's Wayne Simmons. It's a respected guy in the National Hockey League. And looking at, you know, Wayne Simmons, you know, I had the pleasure of training with him and growing up with him. He doesn't look that big. And he's like, oh, maybe Sherratt's thinking, yeah, you know what? Maybe it won't be too bad. And then about 2 seconds into the fight, he was absolutely wrong. So it's tough to really turn down a fight. You want to now get your team going now. Because what if Ben Sherratt, you know, goes and has a great fight? That can now spark Montreal to even now go up 4-1, 5-1, even 6-1, and really put the team out, you know, for that game. But let's remember, this is a 9-game series, or 10-game series. You can't just be turning your head every single game, every other game, and every other shift now. Because what happens if Toronto's up 3-1 and Sherratt goes to Simmons? You think Simmons is going to say, oh, we're up 3-1? He's going to be like, no, I owe you a fight because you did that for me when we were losing a couple games before.
So hold on, Stewie, educate me here, because I've been living on a UFO for the last little while, and the last I checked, it was about winning the game, not about winning the fight.
Well, don't be so harsh on Etobicoke.
Right.
No.
Hold on. So if Simmons loses the fight, then the Habs win, but Simmons won the fight, so the Leafs, that sparked the Leafs to come back and win?
I'll leave it like this. It's not about winning the battle. It's about winning the war. So Ben Sherratt is taking that fight because it's going to help Montreal win the war. Because if he turns him down now, in game one now Wayne Simmons in game two says, well, you know what? I'm going to run around freely. I'm going to be running guys. I'm going to be running Shea Weber. Hey, there's Carey Price. Let me give him a shot to the head. So at least it now keeps Simmons accountable as well, knowing that, hey, there's someone there to answer the bell. So it's more so about the big 10-game pitcher knowing, hey, we got to get this out of the way early so we can now focus on playing the game.
With Stewie and Bourne, Hockey Central at 8:30. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Some names that stood out to us. Nylander for the Leafs. Suzuki, and how about Josh Anderson doubling last year's goal total on opening night? If he's going to be that for the Habs, that is a very nice pickup for Mark Bergevin, who, by the way, should not get a haircut.
Yeah, Mark Bergevin's got some luck with the muscles and the flow going right now.
He's trying to get the hair as wide as the shoulders.
It's unbelievable. But if you're the Montreal Canadiens or a fan of the Habs, like, you have to feel pretty good about that first game. Like, Suzuki looks like a certified all-star. Josh Anderson had a great performance. Carey Price gave up 5, and I wouldn't fault him for a single moment of that game. He was very good throughout it. And then there just seemed to be lots of depth and physicality. I thought Montreal looked really good. It was a tough game all around. So, yeah, on the Toronto side, I thought, you're right, Nylander, he's got some pop on that shot coming off that stick. The guys on Sportsnet last night mentioned changing flex on his stick. But, yeah, it's coming off like wildfire. Matthews was good. So, we thought the start of the season would be ugly. And sure, defensively, you don't like that many goals going in. But I thought that was a fun hockey game with lots to like on both sides.
Josh Anderson, guys. 2 goals last night. Now comes the word that Pierre-Luc Dubois wants out. I'm sitting here in studio wearing my Columbus Blue Jackets t-shirt.
Which he wandered the city of Toronto wearing the morning after Game 5 in the bubble.
I'm just wondering what the hell is going on with my jackets.
And guys, this is a trend, right? Panarin and Bobrovsky walked when they could, and Anderson wanted out, and now Dubois.
I think it comes down to, the coach and how he handles guys. And, you can be a fiery coach, but you got to know when to when to lay into guys, but when to lay off. But John Tortorella is one of those guys where he's just stick, 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 stick. You got to give the guys some carrots. So as you move up the echelon of the social ladder in the National Hockey League as players, you earn a little bit of respect, a certain degree of respect. And when you're a top guy on the team, you don't need to be hearing a coach bark at you every single day, especially Dubois. Dubois, yeah, he has some defensive deficiencies, but he plays the game hard. He goes in the corners, he goes to the nets, he punches guys' face-offs like Wayne Simmons. But you can't have a coach that's just on you. And I can tell you that's something that's going on with Dubois, where he's like, you know what? What if I go to Montreal? They're going to treat me like a star. If I get traded somewhere else, I'm going to be treated like a star. I don't need this business in Columbus.
To me, it's just a grass is always greener thing. You look around the league and you go, all right, some guys get to live in New York City. Some guys get to live in Los Angeles. There's a variety of great cities. Columbus is a nice city, but, it's not one of the cities in the league. And then, are we a favorite to win a Stanley Cup? No. Are we in the top 10? Probably not. It's just...
You watch your mouth, Bourne.
I know. There's not a whole ton of reasons to be like, boy, this is the spot 100% for me. They also, to Stewie's point, have a coach who barks at you and wants to play defensive and suppress those numbers. So there's lots of reasons to think, boy, if I go somewhere else, maybe my situation improves a little.
But Arash, I'll say this too. They need to start recruiting family guys. I was a city slicker as a player, as a young guy, but as a family man near the end of my career, I loved living in Carolina. I'd go back and live in Carolina now. But it's a bunch of jerks over there. And again, if you get a certain demographic of player, there's high quality players that have 2-3 kids that would love the lack of limelight in Columbus.
Yeah, but then you're also drafting kids, right? I mean, they're on entry-level contracts. They're
draft
coming
the ones with kids. I don't know, and families. Right. What do you want?
Get it started early. Here's to being a grandparent at 38. Why not?
But then who's going to go to the Ohio State dorms?
No comment.
Yeah. Stewie.
No comment. I've never heard of such a place.
Right.
Where is Columbus again?
Yeah, exactly.
I plead the Fifth. I plead the Fifth Amendment, as Arash Madani did earlier in the show on our Aaron Rodgers conversation. Anything else from last night's slate, guys, stand out to you? I mean, the Oilers get off to, the Oilers get off to a slow start, looking not so great. Just bring the blue jerseys back with the orange shoulder patches, as opposed to the reverse or whatever you call that reverse retro that they wore last night. They get off to a slow start. Vancouver beats them. Canucks had a bit of an iffy off season. They got a point to prove.
Yeah, no, that was a surprising start. First off, why are we wearing third jerseys in the first game of the season anyway? Like,
it's an admittance fashion. That they should be wearing fashion. Blue at home.
Fashion, that's not fashion. I don't know what that is, but yeah, no, not a great start for the Oil last night. Some solid performances around the league. Not surprised to see Philadelphia get off to a good start. My last note on the Toronto Maple Leafs on the way out the door, which I was tweeting about last night, is I think our buddy Barabanov's going to have some trouble sticking in this lineup. I think Nick Robertson is going to get in here before long. I don't know if it's next game or in the next few days. I think we're going to see Robertson, and I'm not sure he ever leaves the lineup after that.
Yeah, I wasn't really a big fan of that Edmonton Oilers game, and I was watching that midway through the second period. I'm like, where's Wayne Simmons to punch someone's face off here? We need Wayne Simmons to hop on a plane and let's go here.
Wayne should be in every game.